funny seems like a trait you're either born with or without. But many comedians and funny people agree that being funny requires more patience than you might imagine, and a lot of failure along the way can actually be a good thing.
We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you consider yourself to be funny? Did you grow up in a family that was always making jokes? How did you learn to be funny? Give us a call at 800-642-1234.
Brendan Leonard is an author, adventure writer, illustrator, and humorist. He writes about climbing, outdoor stuff, and other life musings, including what it takes to be funny, at his humor blog called Semi-Rad. Brendan, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. So you've got a lot of creative projects going for you. We mentioned some of them there. You do a lot of writing about the outdoors. You write for your humor blog, a lot of funny illustrations for Instagram. The thread of humor seems to be what runs through all of these. When did you first realize, though, that you wanted to be funny?
Gosh, I think it was hanging out with my mom's family when I was a young kid, you know, probably 7 or 8 years old, when I realized they had these, when the family got together, everyone was constantly joking, and it was, you know, kind of a one-upmanship as well. With she has four sisters and two brothers, and I just remember thinking as a young kid, someday I'm going to make my Uncle Steve or my Uncle Dan laugh. And it took years because you're not very funny when you're 8 years old. You know, you're especially not funny to adults, I guess, at that point.
And I'm also wondering, too, so I have a specific memory, because I grew up in a family where we made a lot of jokes, we were always pretty funny, and I remember going over to the family of my first serious girlfriend for a long time, and it was the exact opposite, and I was freaked out. Did this happen to you, too, like going to a different family and seeing how the other people did it?
That exactly happened. That's funny you should mention that, because it was, you know, and I... You know, it was just many girlfriends. I just realized I thought they didn't like me, you know, and because that's your immediate reaction. Like, oh, they just don't like me at all. But no, it's just people don't sit around and try to make each other laugh all the time. So my family was it was a shock for sure, going to a different family and realizing there wasn't just laughs constantly. So.
So, Brendan, you talked about your mother's family, but your dad also was a joker, not necessarily for his own good, but because he really wanted to make other people laugh. Tell us about the joy that you get from making someone laugh.
Boy, you know, I think it comes from a very deep-seated insecurity. Stop laughing. I'm really serious here.
No. Sorry.
But, you know, like, I think, you know, I'll do public speaking engagements, and if the crowd isn't laughing, I think I'm doing a terrible job, which is not, you know, not the case often. They're just listening. But I have to keep checking and cracking a joke every minute or every 30 seconds just to make sure, like, are you still with me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I heard Mark Maron did an interview with Robin Williams several years ago, and they kind of were saying that their approach was, in talking to an audience, they were asking, do you love me? And if the audience laughed, they were loved. And then 5 minutes later, do you still love me? You know? Mm-hmm. So I think maybe that's at the heart of it. Plus also we need to be having a good time here. So if we're laughing, to me, we're having a good time, I guess.
I have to say, with public speaking, when our nephews were in maybe middle school, one of them was practicing a speech he was giving about the Vikings, and he was practicing it in front of us, and my husband told him, always start with a joke, and we found out later that he actually did figure out a Viking joke to start his presentation with, and it went over really well. So there is something about trying to establish that connection with people right from the get-go.
Perfect. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think we have enough earnest stuff in the world that it helps to have a little levity at sometimes, you know, like, well, let's not take this so seriously. None of us are getting out of here alive, you know.
We're talking right now with Brendan Leonard. He's an author, adventure writer, and illustrator, and he recently wrote a blog post called Learning to Be Funny. And Brendan, I want to pick up on that thread. How does somebody learn to be funny, and how do we get better at being funny?
Boy, I think trying and being unafraid of rejection are the two biggest things. You can't, you're never going to be funny if you're just sitting there listening the entire time. You have to interject at some point. And, you know, if you tell a joke and it doesn't land, it's not the end of the world. You know, I think being a writer, you get rejected by publishers and magazines all the time. And I hadn't realized this until a few weeks ago, that I was prepared for rejection in the writing world because my jokes have been getting rejected my entire life, you know, since elementary school, when you yell something out from the back of the class and no one laughs and you get sent to the principal's office. That's not a good, you know, not a good outcome. So yeah, I think, you know, starting with other people's jokes is a great way to start, you know, jokes that you hear, that aren't necessarily things that you've created, but maybe things you found on the internet or, you know, someone told you. Knock, knock jokes are great. You know, kids jokes are great. And then you kind of learn timing from that and learn what is funny. And then just watching people who are funny and deconstructing, like, why did I laugh at that? You know, why is that clever?
I actually wanted to ask you that, like, what are some of the themes or components, or maybe it's the timing of jokes that you've realized over time, like, that is joke gold?
Oh, man. Dating is huge.
It's so relatable, isn't it?
Yeah, love and marriage are things that, you know, cohabitation. You know, I try to draw 3 or 4 charts a week on Instagram, and I feel like I have a good, I've been, you know, trying to observe my own behavior. And if I think this, somebody else must think it too. And the most successful ones to me are the things that land almost universally, you know, things about, like, you know, this is what it's like when you're first in a relationship, but now it's turned into this. And I've always found it more effective to make fun of us instead of making fun of those people. So put yourself in that sort of, in the group you're making fun of. Otherwise you have this possibility where people are going to, you know, be offended. And if you're in it, you're making fun of yourself too. So people can't get that offended at it, I guess, is my take.
And Brendan, I was scrolling through your Instagram a little bit before this interview, and a lot of relatable stuff. And I pulled up this one. It's a picture of a book, and above the book it says "Story of My Life, Part 27." And then the title of the book is "I Was Going to Wait Till This Food Cooled Down So I Wouldn't Burn My Mouth, But Then I Didn't" by me. And I laughed out loud because that's like me all the time after making the super exciting thing in the kitchen. Can't wait to dig into it. And then so you know what you were saying about relatability is great. But then I also thought, hey, this is funny, and it's not. Not like it's not rude, it's not in your face, it's just, you know, there, and it's something that we can all relate to. So I guess that what I'm seeing here is that, you know, comedy doesn't necessarily have to be like raunchy or dirty all the time to be funny.
No, but it can
just absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, things like that's a really easy illustration to pull off. There's a million of those, and I have a whole series in my head that, you know, would work, but I feel lazy because all I do is erase the cover of the book and put up another one, you know. And, but yeah, there's these things that you just think everybody goes through, probably, you know, regardless of political leaning, regardless of, you know, religion, regardless, you know, all these things that we do on a daily basis. And that's a really good place to start with humor. It's just kind of, did you ever notice that blank, you know? And of course, yeah, I did. Wow, I do that too. And it's so funny that we both burned our mouth on pizza last week, and we keep doing it. Like, I'm 40 and I still can't eat pizza, apparently, you know?
There is something about that self-deprecating type of humor that I think, you know, it's a little vulnerability involved, but it also makes us more human.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's actually less vulnerable because you're taking a shot at yourself before anybody else can, you know.
That's like, a good point. Beat them to the punch, literally.
I already did that. I already did that bit. So you're not going to beat me to it. But thanks. Yeah.
So what's the difference between being funny, say, in conversation versus a standalone joke where you're waiting for the rim shot? Is one or the other easier to develop as a skill, as a talent?
Yeah. I mean, well, to me, you can memorize jokes, which is fantastic. You know, I have a whole set of guy walks into a bar jokes when I used to be a bartender, which is almost 20 years ago. But the wisecrack, I think, is just like a skill you develop over time. And, you know, you try to throw it out there as much as you can without really interrupting the flow of conversation. But I'm, you know, I think maybe I'm a bad listener because I'm always thinking about the next thing that could be funny sometimes, but I'm trying to be a better listener. But yeah, I think either one is a skill you develop, and you kind of learn to read people and, you know, read rooms and if it's going to be in good taste, or if it might land, or if not, are you comfortable with the fallout, you know, and what's in good taste, you know, too. So yeah, I don't know. I think recognizing a universally good joke that someone else has written is pretty easy. And I've told the same joke about polar bears to, you know, tons of different people. I didn't make it up, but I told it twice on a trip with a bunch of raft guides a couple weeks ago. And within seconds, you know, one guy thought it was the greatest. And he said, "Tell these guys that joke." And they've all groaned. And I was like, oh, hey, all right, guys, sure.
Well, you know, and you have to tell it now, Brendan.
Okay. It's, yeah. a polar bear walks into a bar, goes up to the bartender and says, I'll have a gin and tonic. And the bartender says, what's with the big paws? And the polar bear says, I don't know. My dad had them too.
That's a keeper.
Yeah. And age appropriate, you know, I mean, for all ages, you know, so I love it. It's one of my favorite jokes ever.
I'm wondering too, are there certain kind of jokes that you'd like to see make a comeback? I had a conversation with a coworker a while back, and she mentioned that like no one tells your mom jokes anymore, and I can kind of see why, but are there certain jokes that we just don't tell anymore that you kind of wish we were still doing?
Oh man, I used to love mama jokes because they actually became a big part of hip hop albums in the 80s and 90s. People would put them on as skits. But in going back and listening to some of those albums, I realize why people don't do them anymore. yeah, they kind of don't stay. But yeah, I mean, I think humor, like any other media, is always evolving. And you could say things 50 years ago in the United States that right now that would not elicit a laugh. People would be offended. And I think that's a good thing. You know, it's progress as far as our society goes. And you could choose to complain about it and say, oh, there's nothing, you know, you can't even say a joke about this or that anymore, you know, because everybody's going to get offended. And I think it just makes you it just makes you work harder for things that aren't going to be seen as offensive. And I think that's good that we're missing out on a lot of that old humor that has become distasteful and offensive.
Well, Brendan, thank you so much for joining us today. Brendan Leonard is an author, adventure writer, and illustrator. His recent blog post is Learning to Be Funny at semi-rad.com.